I wrote the cruise begins. How old is the first mate? Well, check with the captain, and God is the captain. So the answer is, captain's log, stardate 600, Genesis 7, 5 through 6. And Noah did, this is the captain's log, I'm reading it. And Noah did according to all that the Lord, the captain, commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. So that's stardate 600. All right.
Can you give a layman scripture reference for that again?
Yep, that was Genesis 7, verse 5 and 6. But that's in the captain's log.
It is.
You call it the Bible. All right, now verse 7 through 8. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and male and female, as God commanded them. And then verse 13, in the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Bacon, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives, his sons, with them into the ark. They, and so the last verse there, verse 14, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in, they went in, they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Okay, so the wording, and I emphasize it, everything, all that would live went in to the environment. Anything that's going to live is going to go into the environment. What environment? The environment that God has set up, the environment that he prescribed, the environment that he knew that would work, the environment that was specifically designed for that time and those people in the earth, that they might make the full journey into the greater environment, which is the new creation. So I noticed that because it kept using the word every, all, every. And then it started using the word, they went in, they went in, they went in. So all that lived went into that environment. And the rest, well, bad weather killed the rest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a bad day that day. So within that environment, within that, it's a hothouse. It's a place where, as we're going to see, and I don't know if we're going to see it in this time, but what we're going to see is that everything that God needs to form his son in them, everything that he needs to form his son is in that environment. There are good animals and there are bad animals. And I don't want to go too far with that right now. So that day then, because they went in on the day that it started raining, I wrote all hands on deck. Actually, no hands on deck.
Yes.
Everyone is in the dark. For 40 days and 40 nights, there was no sunrise players. Wait a minute.
That was players.
What's the name of y'all's group?
Well, Sunrise Team.
Sunrise.
We also call ourselves the Patmos Players.
Okay. Well, there was no sunrise because they were in the ark. At least it appeared that way. It appeared there was no sun, and yet, you know, I had an experience when I was pretty young. One of my first trips down in Latin America, and that day that I was to catch the airplane, it was really raining. I mean, it was really raining. I was worried that our plane wouldn't take off, but it did. And we got in that plane, and I had a window seat, and that plane just started going up and up, and I mean, you could see the rain on the window, and it's like, gosh, such a bad day. And all of a sudden, that plane nosed out of the rain and went up above the clouds and looked down, and they were white like snow. And it was like rainbows were dancing all over. And I was just going, oh my God, up here the sun is out. It's bright. It's always out. Yeah. It's just we have something blocking it. And what it did to me was it said, Randy, I don't care how bad things are going on the earth, the sun is still there. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean he's not there. His heart, his reality is still there. And this will all clear away. That's what he said. This stuff comes and goes. It'll all clear away. But what will be consistent, well, the sun will always be there. So that's what they're facing. They're facing, you know, at best they probably had candlelight or oil of some kind in that ark. And now they're settling in to life as they never knew it before. I played that song for you. They're settling into what they've left. It's gone. It's not just, they didn't just leave it. It's gone, you know, when the rains start, once they start going for a while. 40 days, 40 nights. And so because they are on Noah's floating circus and zoo, they're having to become animal trainers. Which they weren't thinking about when they were going to take this vacation cruise. And that I put, what was the family of Noah's job? They were animal trainers. Their job was to keep the bad ones from eating the good ones. Yeah. And that's, no pressure. And it's in the dark, and those certain creatures are really good at finding things in the dark and killing them, you know. Feeding and tending is a full-time, here's how I wrote this, feeding and tending is a full-time job. Because of the trial of it all. So that's total involvement now. There's not going to be anything else. They have to be involved, and they have to give themselves to this. We've got whatever we're going to, whatever this is leading to, whatever things that we sense from the heart of God and we sense in our hearts as we look into one another's eyes, we know it's going to be glorious. We know it's going to be the Lord. We don't necessarily believe everything will be perfect, but it's going to be better than this. But this is necessary to get to that.
Thank you, Lord.
And so they resign themselves to that. And they say, this environment is the one God has given us for now.
Wow.
This is the one that we need. Mm-hmm. Not just the one that, you know, we asked for or what we thought it would be. Especially when Job fooled us with that title of floating circus and, you know, zoo. We thought we were just going to be, hey, look, there's an animal I never saw before. Yeah, feed it. That's right. So just some things that I wrote about total involvement, because I told you this kind of stuff would be cropping up. Total involvement. God is totally involved in his plan. Okay? God is totally involved in his plan. That's important to realize that God never leaves his plan. He never leaves what's in his heart. He never leaves that. And when the old world, as it's described in some of the New Testament scriptures, was done away, that didn't mess with his plan. This is now his plan. His plan is now 8 people in an ark for basically a year. Mm-hmm. And all the things that are going to arise, that's his plan. And so I wrote, Jesus' sacrifice was total in spirit, soul, and body. That was his plan. Jesus never called anybody to follow him except that the requirement of the call demanded total involvement with him. So remember, we said that Jesus' main emphasis in ministry wasn't converts. Not if you check the scriptures. His main emphasis was making disciples. Mm-hmm. And the way that he did that was he walked along, and there were certain ones, and we don't know, you know, how all that worked, but we know that Jesus knew, and he called Peter and them, and they dropped their nets, and they came, you know. I think Peter fell down at his feet at one point when they, you know, because he hesitated, and so he pulled in the nets, and he goes, you know, I'm a sinner, and Jesus just said, follow me, you know, just follow me, just come on. You don't have to have it all figured out at this stage, just be with me. And you know, and the scriptures even say this. It says, and he chose the ones that would be with him. That's the, in King James, he chose the ones that would be with him. And so you're looking at these guys, okay? So you got fishermen, you got tax collectors, and the tax collectors are working for the Romans. And then you've got zealots that are among you, that are like trying to overthrow the Roman government. You got all this contrast. You got all of this potential for ripping and tearing going on there. And as they're walking along, you know, there's Judas. And Judas is stealing money from the bag. And outsiders that are not part of it look at him and they go, you know, well, this Jesus must be terrible. And somebody said, why do you think that? He said, well, look at these guys. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And I saw that guy steal some money, and I saw this and that. And, you know, and looking at the environment, because that's what that was. And judging based on not what they will be, which is the leader, Jesus. Mm-hmm. What they will be is him. This is what you should keep your eyes on. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the environment, that one, Jesus, that's who you keep your eyes on. You don't start looking around going, well, this or that or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. You know, he's a Roman lover or whatever. You say, my focus is to be on him. He didn't say follow the group. He said follow him in the group. And that's important. It's so important. Because without it, there's chaos. Really. Because there's no two people on the whole planet believe exactly alike. No, you know, I've said that often in New Creation Fellowship. I said, no two people here believe everything the same. So what is our common denominator?
Jesus.
And some of you remember where this came from, but we were in my living room when the Lord began to form this church. And I said, well, how do I bring everybody together? Because I didn't know. I was young, and I was just trying to figure this out myself. And he gave me the example of the scripture that says, and when he comes back, every eye shall see him, and we shall be caught up. Okay, well, here was how he spoke that to my heart. He spoke that by saying, if every one of our eyes are on Jesus, then we are joined together. We come together. And when we get our eyes off Jesus, we split apart. So that's who we follow. Not following me or anybody else. We follow the Lord, and we keep our eyes on him, and we stay the course, and we you know, and so if you're, you know, to follow Jesus, even if there's 12, you can still see him.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in the Old Testament the way that the Lord made it for them, for Israel to move through the wilderness? He set the ark of the covenant, which represented where the presence of God was. And he put it right in front. And there wasn't 12. There was all of those people. And their goal was to keep their eyes on the ark. Not on the journey. Not on the journey. They didn't have Google. You know, you're not thinking about where you're going, you're thinking about who you're going with, and in truth, that person, Jesus, that you're following, in truth, that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
To be swallowed up of him. To be brought into him more and more and more. He must increase. I must decrease. And that starts becoming a saying of your heart. You find your heart speaks to you. And it says, he must increase, and I must decrease. And you're like, that's my goal. That's my job. What's your place among the 12? My place is he must increase, and I must decrease. You know, what's your place, Judas? Oh, I keep the money. Right? But I know, you know, anybody asks me, I'll tell you. I must decrease. And the only way I'm going to do that is keep my eyes on him where he must increase. And then I'll decrease. It's not I, and you know this maybe somewhat, but it's not I decrease and then he increases. The more I decrease, the more he increases. Well, that's going to be a real long journey. A long journey. In fact, it'll never happen. The scriptural order is he must increase. And I must decrease. And as he increases, we decrease. See? It's not a battle on our part. It is it's a battle to keep our eyes on him. But if we do, then he will increase. And we will decrease. And that's his plan. That's his plan. If we're really with the Lord. And, you know, how many of you really believe there's a real Jesus? You know, how many of you believe he's right here in this room?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you believe that he's right there in you?
Yes.
He is. Okay, so if that's real, it's every bit as real as it was then when they walked with him. It's every bit as real. It's the same Jesus. He's not one iota different. It's still the same one, and we're following him, and we're growing into him. What does it say in Colossians? That we might grow up in him who is the head, you know. And so that's the, now take all of that and stick it in the ark. and be in the ark. And now we settle in. And we say, I don't know how to do everything. I don't know how to handle whatever might come up. I don't know any of this. I don't know. But I know Jesus. I know Noah brought us in. He did it. And he's following God. So I'm in. And your heart then, if you can see it happen, if you can see that it happened with Jesus and the disciples, you can say, I'm that to you now. And I will eventually no longer be a disciple. I will be whatever member of your body you want. And you can use me by life. Because your life does that. You don't. Your hand doesn't move your arm. You know? The life does. And then you go, and that's what I want. That's what I want. I only want to be with you, Lord. So, in the ark, there's going to only be one kind of total involvement. Total. So there's only one kind. And what it means by that is, it doesn't mean every minute of every day, everything is, it doesn't mean that. It has to do first with your heart. You know, I'm there, Lord. I'm your hand extended. I'm your feet to take you wherever. Yes.
I mean, just like as you're saying, not doing everything every day kind of makes me think of David in the temple, because he never laid his hands on the temple, so to speak. So there was technically no involvement, but he was always involved.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, it's similar to what I was saying about an environment. We have to become that environment. And when we do that, then the things will play their self out. I mean, can I give you all another example? I mean, I hate to use examples of me because it's just the only one I've known all these years. You know, so I use that. But, you know, when I first came to the Lord, it was a big deal. It was a big splash. It was everything was different, and I didn't know anything. I mean, I was raised in, you know, United Methodist Church is different here than it is over there. Over there, it's like they barely know the Lord. I mean, they don't even believe in being born again or anything. Yeah. So I was raised in that. I didn't know anything from my days in church in the orphanage. But all of a sudden, I have this life in me. And so, I remember going to the church that I went to, and I asked if I could talk to the pastor. I was innocent as I could be. I had no clue. And he said, sure, and sat down. And I said, I want to be involved. I want my life to count for Jesus. You know, I want to do something for the Lord now. I've lived for my whole life for me. I want to do something for the Lord. And he said, well, you know, we might could put you as a Sunday school helper. And I said, and how often would that be? And he said, well, Sunday. Actually, Sunday morning. And I went, well, you don't understand. I was a hippie. I did drugs. Your whole life is involved in all of that. You, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, every day, this is who you are. This is how you go. I need that. That's what I need that kind of involvement. Oh, well, we don't have anything like that. You know, anything that you could do on a regular basis is what he meant. You know, it's like, you know, and I went, God, I can't, I got to find this somewhere. And then other hippies started getting saved, and man, we were constantly in one another's house or pad, as we called it back then, and sharing, and we would just sit on the floor, and we'd sit in a circle, and we'd have a guitar or two, and we'd pass it. And every day, every time we'd get together, somebody would have a new song, and it would be the scriptures, and they'd have a new song. And those songs were beautiful, incredible, heart-moving. And then, you know, as everybody would have something from the Word. It was like, you know, we used weird language, but it was like, man, I want to turn you on to a scripture I just found, man. You know, and it's just, you know, he would read the scripture, and we would all go, oh my God. I mean, there was awe. You understand what I mean? It was awe, like, oh man, this is in the Word. This is God talking to us, you know, because that's the way we saw it. God's talking to us.
Yeah.
There's no religion involved in it, you know. God is speaking. God, look at this. I can't believe it says that, you know. One guy says, you know, yeah, this is the Most High. We all used to get high, but this is the Most High. You know? I mean, it was just like we were so full of life and everything. And, you know, I'll tell you how naive we were. You know, if somebody got sick or something, we saw in the scriptures, we'll pray for them, lay hands on them, pray and everything. So we're doing that, and you know, we're standing around. Somebody says, well, you know, I've been having a shoulder problem, whatever. And this one brother goes, you know, I've been having hemorrhoid problems. We said, well, praise God. So we're all laying our hands on them. And then all of a sudden we go, we're all looking around going, should we be doing that? We were as innocent as we could be because we didn't know, but we just were trying to live it. You know what I mean? We wanted to live it, and we wanted it to work in us. And you know, and so that actually grew and grew and grew. And then finally it grew to where we ended up, or I ended up going to a Bible school that was open to, you know, Jesus freaks and was more like a total environment. And then that's where I met Deb in the second semester that I was there. And from there, and people would come up to me and they would say, you know, family members when I'd be home or Christmas or something, and they'd say, well, what are you going to do with your life? And I'd go, I don't know. It's not really my life. It's his life. It's not mine. Well, that's not the right thing to say to rational people, you know, because they're going, no, you have to get a job. I'm going, huh?
You need a retirement plan.
Yeah. Well, even after I became a pastor, I had a pastor say, what's your 5-year plan? And I'm still saying the same thing. I don't know. I'm with Jesus.
Yeah.
Seriously. I still don't know. I probably don't have a 5-year plan anymore. I mean, but you know, I've never had one. And I, you know, the only thing that mattered to me is that I am following Jesus. I'm with Jesus. I want him. This is what I want to do. And I, you know, somebody says, well, are you wanting to be a pastor? I said, I don't know. I just want to be with Jesus. That's real. I know that sounds lame to some people, but it's the absolute thing that continues to work in my heart. You know, you can set me to clean the toilets in the church, and I'll do it with all my heart. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. I'll do it with all my heart to the Lord. And when I step back, I will step back, and it will be the shiniest toilet you ever saw. And I will go, I did that for you. You say, oh, you wouldn't. I've done it a bunch of times. And will it probably again? That doesn't bother me. You know, I don't have to be this or that or have this title or that title. I don't, sometimes when the title gets in the way, I get out of the title. Because my life is not just this or that. My life is Christ. And he can do whatever he wants to. So I think these things are important, and here's why. Noah and that whole family, they're in this ark, and they don't know where they're going or what they're going to do. They've never took care of animals before. They've never, you know, taken care of animals. They've never, Noah didn't sit down and explain everything. You know why? Because God didn't sit down and explain everything to him. He got him up far enough to you know, get to build the ark and then to gather the circus animals. And that was, that's it. Okay, now you're in. Now, unless you can swim a long time, you know, it's time to knuckle down and let's go for the Lord, you know. So, and then when you're in that ark, it's like my involvement, it can't be with the work. It has to be with the Lord. I mean, hear what I'm saying. It can't be with the work. Yes, you do the work, but you're involved with the Lord in doing those things. And I've seen you do that here, even here, working on the getting the gravel and doing all of that stuff. You know, you're not, the work of God here wasn't first and foremost moving gravel. It's being involved with the Lord in that and having the Spirit of the Lord in that and blessing others in that. You see that? That's the involvement with the Lord. You're involved with the Lord. And then if a task comes up, well, what does it say? What your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Well, that'll pretty much answer everything. That's the will of God right there. You say, what's the will of God? Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Give, you are a, if I can say it like this, by Christ, you are a given life. Mm-hmm. You are a given life. That's what you are. So you give yourself. You do it by Christ. You do it unto Him. You do it heartily. You do it in a right spirit. You do it because this is what you're called to again. Isn't that something? Okay, now how's that? Okay. Well, I'm not called to that. I'm called to be a pastor. Or, well, I'm called to lead worship and sing. Well, you know, and everybody's telling me their calling, and I'm going, we're first and foremost called to live the life of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you're saying, well, I can't do this heartily unto the Lord, I have to do my thing. Oh, my God, then you're not even following the Lord now. You're just doing your thing. And, you know, in the Bible school we went to, they had areas that you can get involved with and choose. And Deb chose engineering, was it? What was it?
Agriculture.
Agriculture. She chose agriculture that she wanted to be involved with. They said to me, they saw that I played guitar and stuff like that, and they said, oh, man, you're going to be a great asset to the music ministry. And I said, no, I'm going to choose education, teaching little kids. I didn't know anything about kids. And up to that point, here's one thing I knew. I tried to make friends with all the kids and thinking that would work, and it never worked. It was always a mess. So I said, I'm going to go into the worst thing that I would not want to go into, running around kids screaming and, come on, Randy, fix it. I'm going to choose that. Why? Because I could do music blindfolded without Jesus. Mm-hmm. But not this, not with the kids. This is going to require the Lord. I said, I'm going to put myself in a position to need the Lord, you know. So there's, you know, I mean, there's some value in that. We go, Noah, why are you making me work with the tigers and they're working with the llamas?
Yeah, really.
You know? All that thing can do is spit at you. This thing can eat you.
Yeah.
You know?
Alive.
Alive, yeah. Can you trust the Lord doing it and do it heartily as unto the Lord? I mean, you see that? I mean, this stuff is supposed to be practical. Yeah. So much of Christianity today is not practical. Here's why it's not practical. Because you go to a building, you sit, you listen to somebody preach, you sing some songs, and then you go home and live the way you did before. You know, you mm-hmm. go sing to God and then go serve the devil. So, total involvement is necessary for living the life of Christ, because he's, can you see that? He is totally involved. He is totally committed. He is, you know, totally in himself and environment. So if he is that, then he is that in us. So, you know, I remember a statement I was thinking about. I thought I jotted it down. I don't see it here. I wrote, oneness, not unity, demands total involvement. Okay? Y'all know the difference between oneness and unity?
Yes.
Okay. Unity, by its very nature in the word, means that there's more than one. Right? You can't have unity unless you have at least two people to be unified. Right? Okay. But oneness means there's one. Mm-hmm. Oneness means one. So if we're trying to unify the churches, good luck. Because the only true unity comes by oneness, and that is, we've said it before, there's neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, male nor female. Christ is all and in all. That's one. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Christ is the one. You're not. But he's in you. Amen?
No.
You see that? Okay, so then, you know, and being a pastor, and I've been so many pastors' meetings, and we're going to bring unity to the churches in our city. I'm going, okay. Let's see how long this lasts past the event. Mm-hmm. All right, so the event comes finally. 5-6 churches are there gathered together like never before. We're glad to have you all here. We've never had this many churches gathered together before here. We are all one. It doesn't matter. And, you know, they're going on, but they're not talking about the one. They're just talking about, you know. And I have never in all my life, in all the ones that I've seen, I've never seen it go past that event. Mm. Everybody goes back to default. That's because the one needs to take over. So that's the need. So I wrote down, this is the scripture, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's total. Total involvement, total commitment. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's not a whole bunch of spooky spirits in the room. It's one spirit, and it's his spirit. And we're not just members of him, we're members one of another, the scripture says. That's total. So just thinking of the overall picture, I wrote, sadly, we do not measure by Christ. We measure our life in contrast to Christ. We say, I want to be like Jesus. Okay, we're not saying Christ is my life. That's the measure by Christ. To say I want to be like Jesus, you're immediately making yourself not one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're making yourself separate. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to attain something you can never attain to. I want to be more loving like Jesus. Well, since he is love, you're going to have to become love, and good luck with working on that one, you know. Because that's not you and never will be you. When it is just one life, then we will have total involvement. When it becomes me walking hand in hand with Jesus, then our involvement becomes less than total.
Mm. Oh, thank
the
Lord.
Okay, because we're, sure. When it becomes me walking hand in hand with Jesus, then our involvement becomes less than total. Okay. Because we're trying to stay up with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to, and not just in the walk, but in the walk of the life, the nature, the way, you know. And let's put it on this basis. What if you were really sick And you really, your sickness made you where you were so weak that you really couldn't do a whole lot. Okay? But the need arose for Jesus, that some people needed Jesus. And if it was you walking hand in hand with Jesus, you'd go, Jesus, I can't make it. You go ahead. Or it would be, you rise up in the strength and the life of the Lord, and you learn to do that in any situation, and you learn to be that. I am one with you. I am not, whatever this is, whatever it is doing to me, I believe in you more than I believe in me. I believe in your, and the scriptures say, when I'm weak, then am I strong, because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. How many people do you know believe in total involvement like that? Amen. Totally involved. I am totally committed to the life of Jesus. You know, you don't have to have somebody saying to you, get up, soldier, and go. It's Christ in you, go. You have you saying that to your flesh. Yep. Get up, soldier, let's go. Yes. We're going for Jesus. By his life, he will lift us up. He will bring me forward. It's him in me that wants to meet those needs, and I'm going to let him do it. I'm not going to be the stumbling block to the life of Christ. Okay, well, do you do that automatically when you're saved?
No.
Do you do that automatically because you've gone to church for 10 years?
No.
Do you ever do it automatically?
No.
No, you don't. You do make a resolve that if this is true, if this scripture is God's word to me, picture all the Jesus freaks going, oh man, look at this. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I'm weak, Lord, I'm weak. I'm weak, And if I'm not, I want to be, so that your strength can be made perfect in me. You're excited. It's like, this is great, you know? Instead of, well, I'm an acolyte. I never read that scripture. You know. I wrote, there's a difference between being a member of Jesus' body or just going to the throne room to pray. Okay, using the same example. Lord, you know, I'm coming to the throne of grace, and Lord, I ask that you give me strength to do this. How about this? No praying, just Jesus is my life. He lives in me. His strength works perfect through my weakness. So here I come, because I'm looking forward to your strength, because, you know, I'm with you and I believe in you and I believe your word and whatever. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
I mean, one is almost using prayer as an excuse.
Yep.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to pray for what you already told me is true by your life in me.
That's right.
But I'm not going to believe in that. I want a supernatural package with a smiley face on the package.
Spiritual happy meal.
Yeah. Or Amazon delivers, you know, Prime. We give our heart our mind when we are at church or during prayer time. Now, could we be real?
Yes.
Aren't we sort of more committed during church times?
Absolutely.
You know? Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Everything. our commitment is not to a church service. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? It's not. It can't be. And some of you may be going, well, praise God, then I'll never go to church again. You know, it's greater than that. It's not less than that.
Right.
Go on back. It is to bring the Lord in these situations. But we're growing. We're knowing. We're feeding. We're seeking. We're finding. We're knocking. We're asking. It shall be open. He will come forth. But somewhere there has to be that. Even the scripture says this: I walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how many of you, basically, that's your life. That's how you walk. Okay. It is harder to do as an individual than it is in a total environment, because in that total environment, there is a spirit of this kind of stuff, all of this stuff, and it lifts you, and it is the combined faith of more than just one. It is many members working together, and I've often said, you know, some of you, and I use that example with Chris, but, you know, some of you probably been in places where I preached, and I got behind the big old pulpit there, and I stuck my hand up. They introduced me, and I'd never been there before. Stuck my hand up, hid behind the pulpit, and I said, "Hello, my name is Randy Nussbaum, and I'm here to share the scriptures with you." You know, wave my hand to them a little bit, stuff like that. And then I stood up and I said, "Well, you saw my hand, and that's just one part of my body, one part of me." And I said, "The more that you see of me, the more you're going to know me. You're going to know all of me instead of just a hand or a member." Just a member. "Hi, this is me. I love Jesus." You know, no, the whole body is screaming, "This is my life. It's Jesus is my life." The same with Jesus, though. The more the body comes together, the more members, the more Jesus is going to be seen. Right?
Yeah.
But that's not a that doesn't automatically happen in church. But it does happen when you have an environment where this is what you are about. You understand this is what I'm about. I'm about what? Getting Jesus seen in a greater way. Okay, so if somebody's sick, you don't just go, "Well, they're sick." You go, "Let's pray for them. Let's love them. Let's, you know, all of that kind of stuff." But you also say, "I feel their lack, the lack that we have because they're not here, because it's not getting the full picture of Jesus in his body." You see what I mean?
Yes.
You say, "Well, it's good to spiritualize all this stuff, but, you know, no, this is the way it's supposed to be." This is it. This is it. This is how you're supposed to be. And then you can flow together instead of just go together.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so let's try some of these. I am crucified with Christ, not I. Christ lives in me. That's total.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Total involvement is necessary for living the Christ life, the life of Christ. You don't want a part-time God. And he doesn't want a part-time son. Being the Son of God in us.
Amen.
We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's total.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay. I'm gonna be naughty here, and I'm going to say it like this. Try going and meeting somebody, you know, and just getting married, and then you and that person you marry go get jobs, and of course you're going to have kids pretty quick after that, and then you got to get your home, and you've got to da 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 and all this kind of stuff, and you don't really have even time for church, but maybe once a month or something like that. Try living these things that we're talking about here in that environment. Okay. All right. I think Deb and I have done pretty good over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think our kids have turned out pretty good. They love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. It's possible to happen. But it's not possible to just make yourself an American family and do that, or whatever countries you're from. It's not, you can't do it. It swallows you up. It's probably made to swallow you up so that you can't be with the Lord like that. But it is possible to get married and have kids and still be in an environment and still flow with that and still be a part of it and still be bringing the Lord and being a member in doing that. I mean, just how great was it to have Deb up here sing that song? You know,
yes.
and she's got life, and she's got the life of it in there, and she shares the life of it, and she still wants the Lord. And okay, so if that's our heart, if that's what's in us, if that's what's going to guide us and lead us, then we will always be in a total environment, because first and foremost, we are one.
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? However, if you want to just, you know, jump up from here after we get back and go find somebody and get married real quick, that's fine too.
Be with that.
Yeah. Good luck. All right. Because the last thing I read was, we're bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. What practicality does that have in the average Christian's life? I'm not trying to put down Christianity or the church, or I'm not. I'm trying to lift up Christ. There's a difference. Putting down would be an attitude of, well, they're just wrong and we're the only ones that's right. And I never say that. Y'all know that. Most of you have been around me long enough. That is not my heart. I believe if you're born again, then you're going to be saved. But I'm not talking about one day saved. I'm talking about living Christ now. So, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I don't want to, you know, it would be like having every one of those scriptures in a Bible before me right now. And I go, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Never live it, probably never will. Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Nope, not living it, never will. You know, just going down the line of all this stuff and having to face that. But see, most people won't face it. They won't look at it like that. Yeah.
I just got this image of, you know, we want to live, you know, like you said, yet not I, but Christ live within me and, you know, and through me. And so I got an image of, you know, the body of Christ in a, you know, sort of physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's over here doing this thing, but then the puppy's over here trying to do something else, and it's like, no, live with me. No, what are you doing over there?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'd be like Jesus being the life, but the body is all out of whack, and so it's like crippled and spastic and everything. And he's saying, I'm just trying to get to my Father. And I'm going, well, I'm coming in. Is Jesus drunk? Well, that's not his fault.
That's right.
He has a straight line heart.
It was just in Psalm 22. I just think of, because he describes his bones as being those who are looking upon him. You know, like it's his body, and he says, "My bones are all out of joint."
That's a great scripture. Yeah, yeah. When you said that, I was thinking about Elisha, when he died, you know, and he had him buried and all this, and he'd already decayed, and it was just his bones, and they were burying some guy who just died, and the Midianites came by, and they're going, oh my God, and they took him, and they threw him in Elisha's tomb or grave and stuff, and Elisha's bones brought him back to life. You know, he had more life in his dead bones than that guy, or, you know, most of us. And that kind of stuff affects me. I read that and I go, I want life in my bones too. I want it. If anybody touches, I want them to get Jesus. I want them to get life. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And the dead guy that touched the bones didn't jump up and go, I'm Elijah. He didn't say that. He said, I'm alive. I'm alive. Wow.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
All right. So, you lose yourself to live his life, not just for church services. You know, the fact is that we're the church. We are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Everybody, you know, in modern day Christianity makes everything based on going to a building. You know, you got to go to a building. I got to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to discourage. We've got a church, and I'd like to see y'all when we get back, but that's not, I don't want it on the, I would never want to be part of that church if it's just going to be that we're coming there to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to be the church. I want us to be that, because I always quote this, but in Ephesians, it's called the church, which is his body. We need to always remember that scripture. Yeah. It's not the church which is his building. Mm-hmm. It's the church which is his body.
Amen.
You know, and we have, you know, like Faf is here, and she's so much one with us that it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, always has been from the very beginning.
That's right.
And anything that ever has come up in this country, she's partially responsible for. Y'all need to know that. Because she was there at the very beginning, and she was literally the vehicle. We talk about our body being the vehicle of Christ. She was the vehicle of Christ.
That's right.
To get the word around and to touch people's lives, and lives were touched, and people were ministered to, and still are. And she's every bit of, you know, I mean, the Kelly has blogs and sharings and stuff on Skype, and there are tons of people from other countries and places that are there, and many of those people don't really, I mean, you do, but many of them don't even have churches they can go to.
Yeah.
So that is their church, but it's their being the church,
yes.
You know. And it's really happening, and it's really happening by life. And then we have people on Skype for our church services and stuff. And, you know, so it's, you know, you just think, well, how does this all work? How does it just works by life. Don't try to figure it out. Just go after him, and then all of a sudden, let's just imagine the first person Jesus came up to was Peter, and I think it was, what, Andrew, wasn't it? His brother, anyway. Peter and Andrew, okay, so follow me. So they're following him, and, you know, he's up front of them, and they're talking, they're brothers, you know. Not a very big group we got, we're going here, you know. Don't ask him where we're going. He looks like he looks like he knows what he's doing. And then what if next they pick Judas? And Peter and Andrew go, I don't know, I get a bad vibe. I'm getting a bad vibe here. This thing is, I thought it was going to be better, but now it looks like it's getting worse or something like that. Well, you know, that's us. See, we got, no, we can't just keep our mouth shut, keep our eyes shut, if you will. We're not talking about being blind to everything. We're talking about being focused.
Yes.
We want you to see. But we want you to see Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we want you to follow Jesus.
That's,
we want that to be your heart. And that's where you're going to stay. What time? She's writing, and I don't want to interrupt you there.
Right at 59 minutes.
Well, you're a good man. Wait a minute. Are you trying to get...
I've been counting my head this whole time.
Counting down.
He wants this over with. Okay, so let me finish this last bit. It is not so much getting totally involved as it is to find out what is in Jesus' heart and responding to it. That's where you start. That's where you start. You don't start in terms of, you know, whatever. You know, all the complexities that can come to your mind. It's not so much about getting totally involved as it is to find out what is in Jesus' heart and responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, certain things can be said in this meeting that a person would be like seeds or like life to them, that another person would be receiving something else. It's not even my place to dictate the understanding of everything, but if in all of the things that I've said, you can remember that the big point that I've made every time is Jesus. You need to be totally involved with his life because he is your life. That's a no compromise situation. It should be. Am I right or wrong? That shouldn't be compromisable. Well, you can do that anywhere at any time. If you lived in a cave by yourself, you could do that, you know. And so you start by crying out, Lord, I want to know your heart. Amen. And then I'm going to respond to it.
Yes, Lord.
You know, and you start all of your preferences, all the things that you think are important, you say, I'm going to believe that you're more important than all this. Okay, so that's Noah. Look, we're going to have a big circus over here. You know, it's going to be on a boat. It's going to be different, you know. And I'd like to invite you to come. Really and truly, it's just all going to be all about Jesus. Nah, you know the examples. Jesus they were exactly parables that he made up, but I'm sure they were the thing that happened. You know, I've got to go. I've got to buy some land. I got to look at it first. The way he describes it there is that he's going to buy it and then look at it. I bought some land, now I'm going to go look at it. I think that's the way he said.
Yeah.
You're going, I mean, even I can see through that. I don't need to be Jesus. You know, you look at the land first, then you buy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Jesus said about buying land, he said, a certain man found treasure in the field, and he went and he bought the field.
Thank you, Lord.
That means all the rocks and all the cactus, whatever, weeds, all of anything that's in it, as long as I get the treasure out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I remember when the Lord showed me that, and I was in Bible school, and I could look around and go, well, I don't know if everybody here is really after the Lord in that way. But the Lord said, by the field, mm-hmm. by the environment.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and buy the thing,
yeah, that's right.
because that's where the treasure is. Mm-hmm. Well, this piece of land over here is a lot nicer, that's Lord. Right. And it's just smooth, and it doesn't have rocks or cactus or whatever. And he would say, I bought you full of rocks and cactus.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
You know, so yeah. Get with me and go, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Here we go. I'm buying it. So total involvement, being totally swallowed up with Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being our life. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and not just wanting us to be religious followers of a religion, but wanting us to be after your heart. Wanting us to take the word, the scriptures that come forth from your word, and to look at them with awe, to look at them with amazement, to look at them and say, we are bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh, and saying, I want to live like that. I want to live that. That you said it's true, so I want to believe it and then set my course, set my sail for that. And you said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but it's not I, it's Christ. I want to believe for that. I want to stand for that. I want to see that manifested in my mortal flesh. Father, I want you to enlighten the word so it's just like glowing. It's just calling me every verse. I want those words to be spirit and life like your son said that they were. I want them to affect me. I want to be affected. I don't want to be dull anymore. I want to, when I hear one that I didn't respond that way, I want to say, God, I want to respond that way. Loose your spirit on me. And Father, I want to start by making my own environment. I want to be an environment. Word of the spirit of your life, of your nature. So, Father, I dedicate myself to be in the Word, to go there and say, I am a blind man, but open my heart and my eyes to see you. Father, Isaiah, you began to show him. You began to show him your son. And as you did, Father, there was a change that began to happen to him. But you didn't force anything on him. You just said generally, but not directly to him, whom shall I go and whom shall I send that can declare the Lord as he is. And Isaiah said, here am I. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Filled the temple. Filled us.
Yes.
I will go for you. I will go. I will not just see. I will go and carry your life. I will be a carrier of your life. I will be a carrier of your word and your heart. I will live that others, I will die to myself that others may live. And I will accept your full desire and ways of living in me. Not my will, but thine be done. Father, I pray for all of us that pray that. It's sad to me, Father, that there are those who all they can see is not my will, Father. But all I see is thy will be done. Thy will be done. Yes, 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 yes to the ends of the earth, to whatever degree. I say yes to you. I say I will go. I say I present my body as a living sacrifice that you could use. I walk up boldly to the cross and throw my arms around the cross and around your nail-scarred feet. And I wash myself in your blood and I say, may these feet be manifested in my body. And may I never go anywhere unless they're nail-scarred feet. May I not choose my own direction. May I not choose my own path. May I choose the path of these nail-scarred feet that brought him to Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving yourself. But Jesus, I know you want to keep giving yourself through your body. Just as you did in your mortal body, you want to continue to a life of giving through your body, the body of Christ, your body, us. Thank you.